That was wonderful laughter. Has anybody had the experience of being in church at any point in your life where you started laughing uncontrollably when you weren't supposed to, right? It's like there's this part of you that says, this is like the least appropriate place for me to do this. I remember doing it when I was a child, and I started laughing, my friends started laughing, and we were like laying on the kneelers trying not to laugh with the nun behind us. And it was very challenging. But I'd like to say that it was the last time that ever happened to me, but it wasn't. So today's talk is Rolling Stones, and later on, John McAnulty is going to do some Rolling Stones on flute, right? We're going to see what's possible. No, I just sprung that on him. But I think, you know, today, because it's Easter, a lot of people, we have the story of Easter, and we have the story of the tomb and of it being the place where Jesus was laid and left for dead, with two soldiers guarding this tomb, this cave, because they were afraid somebody would come and try to take him away. But the story goes that somehow the two guards that were guarding him fell asleep, and somehow the stone was rolled away. Okay, so that's the story that we were taught. But because we consider ourselves to be open, we embrace something called new thought, where we take a story and say, okay, maybe that's not what the story was about. Maybe the story and all the stories in there are really teaching us about our own evolution and where we are in our relationship with what we are. Maybe that's what this whole story is about. And maybe the stone isn't an actual stone, but instead is a thought that is blocking our way. A big hardened thought that says, this is what's possible and this is what is not possible. A hardened thought about what life and death is. I'm cutting out. So that is the possibility. And then we look at other stories, like the story of where Jesus is teaching about sowing seeds. Now, I doubt that he was teaching about farming. I kind of really doubt that that's what it was about. But instead was about, as you sow new thoughts, as you think new thoughts, some of it's going to land on rocky soil. So I really don't think he was talking about rocks, clearing away rocks, but instead clearing away thoughts that will prevent the new thought from coming in, the new idea, the new concept. And when we think about it, everything in our life is about a thought. It's about a story. It's about something that we're attaching to ourselves and our minds, and then we move around with that story. So if you had never met somebody before, and let's say you were going in for a job interview, and somebody says, oh, that person is such a jerk. You know, wait till you meet them. You're going to see what I'm talking about. And then they start telling you about their personal story, the personal life of that person. You start getting a mental image of that person. And you go in for the interview with a mental image of that person. You bring that story that was given to you into the situation. And you think you're interviewing with the person that they told you about. But instead, that person left the company a long time ago. And that's not who's sitting in front of you at all. But your attitude through the entire interview was based upon the story that was given to you by somebody else. You could apply that to just about everything in our life. A story is given to us by the news about a whole group of people, and then we carry that with us, and when we meet somebody that says they're part of that group, we assume that everybody in that group feels the same way. and we approach them with those thoughts behind us. And it may be that that's not who they are at all. So the rolling stone is about how easy can we roll away something that's blocking and separating ourselves from other people and from possibilities for ourselves, about full life for ourselves. How easily can we do it? And I think Gilda Radner, my sound guy's looking at me like, I have no idea. You know, where she's ranting and raving about something, and then she finds that that's not what it was, and she just says, never mind. Could we do that in our own lives, where we think that we know something, and it is so concrete in our mind, but the reality of it is that it's actually preventing us from a fuller picture, from a more expanded consciousness, from a greater sense of connection with other people and with our source, a greater connection with who and what we really are. Little things like the concept of countries, states, cities, locations. Unless we saw a sign, could we really tell when we've moved from Afton to the city? Could we really tell when we move from state to state? Could we really tell in Europe when we've gone from one country to the next, where the actual border is? Or is all of this man-made and constructed? The whole idea of separation, of this belonging to me and that belonging to you, to this is what I have and you cannot have any of it. Are we not living in big stories all the time? Are we not generalizing? Are we not stereotyping? The idea and concept of race. Scientists, medical examiners are saying that there is no race. It's a story we made up. Inconsequential story. No. A story that shapes lives, that cause anger. But if we follow our lineage, we find that we're all the same. Thoughts about what is right and what is wrong. Who decides that? How do we decide that? What is good and what is bad? And that's why Lao Tzu says, as soon as you think you have a thought about something, it would be best if you laughed about it instead of saying, this is so true. People fighting over their beliefs about who and what God is, wars in the world and in our families. Very interesting that it's all thought. And that when we're ready to drop a thought, when we roll it away, it's like we're able to come alive and come out of that cave, that small little world, and open up to something much greater. So our evolution is all the process of that, of dropping thoughts of something very heavy and concrete and finding our peace and our expansion beyond the thought. It's been in the news a lot about the, in Indiana, right? About them wanting to change the law and have religious freedom to decide who you're going to serve and who you're not going to serve. And I love, again, Saturday Night Live. They said, you'll know which businesses are supporting that law. They'll have a little sign in their window that says, out of business. But what they're saying is, you can do whatever you want with the law, but you will find out whether or not you're supported in that belief. Quite honestly, if I knew somebody did not want to serve me and it involved food, I would not go there. I would not go there, ever. And I don't care what law made them let me go there. I'd rather know that's exactly how they feel, right? That's why we're kind to rude waiters, right? And waitresses. Because they're in charge of our food now. So, these are the thoughts that we think we have to be in charge of for other people. When the reality is, it's our hearts. Whenever we do have a really bad case of racism, sexism, any type of bigotry, the big guns come in to change it. The universe sends them in. Our source sends them in. And since we are one with our source without realizing it, we send the big guns in. They're called babies. They're called babies. They seem so harmless, but are mixed in any way with another race, and they are our grandchild. All of a sudden, those hardened thoughts just roll away. And our minds are, and our hearts are opening up. And we're questioning what we thought was so real. When one of our own decides to be honest about who they are, everything changes. Everything is powered by love. And whenever we feel not at peace, whenever we feel our energy being drained, whenever we feel as if we're out of sorts, it's just because we've disconnected from love. And in every way that we can find to love and open up to ourselves and love ourselves, we will find that we can love and open up to other people. The only reason we ever, as you know, need to feel that somebody is less than is because we feel less than. So we need somebody underneath us to make us feel better. That's the only reason. And we can say, okay, I have this really hardened thought about people who are racist, who are bigots, who are sexist, whatever it is. If we could remember that the only reason somebody would do that is because they were afraid that they weren't good enough themselves. That's the only reason anybody would ever try to put somebody beneath them. It's because they gotta be better than somebody. We also like to put people above us, put them on pedestals. We love to believe that they are the one. They are the big guru. They are the one Christ. The one Buddha. But that isn't what those individuals taught. They taught it's within everyone, everywhere. Does it not mean that maybe they were more aware of what they were? But it doesn't mean that they were ever more. Some of our boulders and rocks, our stones, are conflicting stones. God is everywhere present. I am one with God. That one's better. Doesn't work, does it? God is everywhere present. That one got more God than I got. So I'm going to follow that one, because that one got more God than I got. There's only so much God to go in here, and they got lots more of it. The more we sit and look at every message that's given to us, as long as we give ourselves the freedom to question everything we've been handed, pick it up and look at it and say, does this really make sense in my life? If it does, I'll keep it. But when it stops making sense, when I can't go any further, when it's the big stone that prevents me from coming forward, then I need to understand I've got the ability and the power to roll it away. And everybody else may not even realize anything changed. But I've come out of my cave, out of my small world, and I've stepped more fully into who and what I am. All just thoughts. And we are just thinking thoughts like crazy, right? So this is never about being paranoid about what is your second by second thought, because I know you got a lot of them right now. And not to beat up on ourselves about our thoughts, but to be open to examining our thoughts, to understanding that the thoughts that we have a lot of energy attached to, we might not even realize they're there anymore. We're handed words. We're handed institutions. We're handed geography. We're handed that the world was flat, and everybody believed it and traveled because of that only so far, with the true fear that they would fall right off of it. So everything changes. We were watching Back to the Future yesterday, and when he goes back 25 years and he's talking to the professor who creates time travel, he says, "Oh, right, so who's president 25 years ahead?" And he says, "Ronald Reagan." He goes, "Right, and Jerry Lewis is vice president, right?" Because it was so far-fetched, right? And that's because things changed, because back then that didn't even seem possible that a movie star would become president. That just like did not make any sense. And we look at our own world and how much since we've been here, if we shoot ahead 25 years, if we shoot behind 25 years, how different the world looks. But if you talk to certain people, things never change. Just get worse and worse and worse. We're going to hell, all of us in a handbasket. But we're not. We can believe all the words that sell the commercials, which I don't know if you've watched any news lately, but it's, or anything lately, it's all commercials with a little bit of this, and all commercials. Why is that? What's with all the commercials? Well, they offer the salaries and the stations that are covering this news. I don't know, have you sent any money in lately to a news station? Everything, if you stop and think about it for a minute and say, why do I have to hear about all these diseases all the time? And the side effects of taking any of the medication of the diseases. Like I didn't even know that disease existed until they told me. I thought laughing hysterically was just fun. I didn't know that meant something. So then we put that in our vocabulary, put that in our possibilities, And we say, oh my gosh, am I laughing more than I should be lately? Could I possibly have that? Or could I just be happy? Am I too happy? So, I mean, just to really today think about that as a metaphysical story about impossible beliefs moving away, rolling away, and possibilities being put in their place. Just opening ourselves to question everything, to question allegiance to soil as opposed to allegiance to one another everywhere. Which one makes more sense? To imagine that God is more in one than an individual, than another individual, to recognize that that presence, or whatever you want to call it, that creative energy is everywhere within you, everywhere, everywhere you go, that you're moving in a sea of it, means we need a different awareness than to believe that we're separate. When you look at your own life and you're surprised at how things have changed and how easily some things came in and how hard it is for some things to change, to go over to the thing that is so hard to change and say, I bet I could roll you out of my way. I bet I could move you easily if I recognized who and what I am. So I will end this at this point, allowing all of us to just think about anything that's standing in our way, any institution, whatever it's called, what we're supposed to be, what age means, all those trigger words, and say, I'm going to dispel them. I'm going to suspend them, and I'm going to sit in this powerful moment and allow all that is to come through me. Thank you very much.